Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon from our Southwest campus.
Amen. Are you blessed this morning? You know, it truly is an honor and a privilege to worship our Lord and Savior. We worship in spirit and in truth. We worship the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. We worship the perfect one, the righteous one, the one who has redeemed us through himself, who laid down his life so that we may have righteousness and eternal life. Church, if that is the only good thing in our life, then we have everything. Amen? Then we have everything. Then we are more rich than we can ever imagine. We're more fulfilled and complete than we could ever imagine. There's nothing in this world that will fill us like he can. So this morning, let's worship him, for he's deserving of our worship. Let's lift his name above all names, and let's rest in his peace this morning. Let's worship him. Amen. It's great to have you in the house of the Lord. It's great to see the fellowship in God's house, where he is worthy of everything we have to give, because he has given us everything we have. The beauty of salvation is that Jesus was the sacrifice for us. God sent forth the Son, and Jesus Christ is alive and well, and his spirit is within us this morning. So this morning, as I was in the morning, I like to get up early. I like to have some coffee and pray and get in the word as I what the Lord wants to share. And so this morning the Lord kind of changed things up. So we're going to see where the Spirit leads this morning. So let's go to Matthew 7 verse 13 and 14. And I want to take this scripture as the Lord put this on my heart this morning. Matthew 7 through 13 and 14 says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many, for the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. And those who find it are few." You know, church, we hear these words of the Lord, and they're not easy words, are they? They're hard. Maybe it's hard for us to understand. Maybe it's easy for us to kind of skip over that. But when we look at the truth of the word, it comforts us. You know, last week we started this new series, Comfort in the Storm. And what is comfortable in this life doesn't come from this world. The comfort of this life comes from his truth and his presence and his power within us. It says that the gate is narrow. So if we can think about back then, a city would have entryways called gates. And these entryways, these gates wouldn't be wide, but they would be narrow so that armies couldn't rush in and destroy the people in the city. So you would have literal narrow gates that sometimes only one person could go in at a time to protect the city. So when Jesus is talking about a gate, he's talking about an entryway, a door into something. And what he is saying is the gate, the door into eternal life is narrow and it's difficult, and those who find it are few. Jesus said in John 14:6, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." He is the gate. He is the way. He is the path to eternal life, and he is our comfort in any circumstance, in any storm. There's nothing in this life that will give you comfort in life outside of Jesus Christ. But the enemy loves to lure us into this easy path. What does the flesh desire? Comfort, easy, my way. What does the Bible say? Difficult, hard, in his way. So, church, what are we choosing this morning? You're here this morning because you chose the narrow path. You chose the difficult way. You chose the way to eternal life. And I promise you, church, you will not be disappointed by choosing Jesus and Christ alone. For nothing else can redeem you or save you. There's nothing else that can set us free but Jesus Christ. There's no other truth than his word, and there's no way higher than his way. So as we look and we live in this life, we have two choices: to go the easy way that's paved, has rest stops on the way, has a great scenery, but the end is destruction. Or we can go down this narrow path that only through Jesus Christ. And the path is narrow, it's hard at times, but there is hope in him. And there is a comforter that comes to guide us through this narrow path in the trials and tribulations that come. And this morning I want to talk about the comforter, the helper that guides us through these things. So let's go to John chapter 14, verse 16 and 17. Are you with me this morning? We are going into this narrow path to understand what the Lord has for us. And Jesus says, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, the comforter, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Of course, Jesus, we know, is talking about the Holy Spirit, the part of God that is with us now, in us, guiding us, protecting us. He is the comforter, which is defined by this: one called alongside, someone who comes alongside you to help, encourage, support, or represent them. So I want to go through some scriptures here, write in your notes for what the Lord, so you can go back and study. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. It says, when you heard the word of truth and you believed in him, you were sealed with the promise, Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance. So the moment we put our faith in Jesus Christ, the moment we believe in him for salvation, that he is the risen Savior, the Holy Spirit comes into us and we're sealed with his Spirit. And he is there in us, with us. The same Spirit that rose Christ from the dead is in you. So here's the question we have to ask ourselves. If his Spirit is in us, why are we searching for completion in things in this world? He is in us, right? Why are we looking outwardly and not looking inwardly? Why is our cry always, God, I want it my way, instead of, Lord, what is your way? We say, Lord, make everything around me conform to my will, instead of saying, I will conform to your will, so your will be done on heaven, in heaven as it is on earth. But why are we so motivated by this flesh that is dying every day? Amen? This flesh desires sin. It desires destruction. It desires the things of this world. As Adam and Eve ate the fruit because they were deceived, we are being lured into that every single day. You know, it's like a parent. Children love to push the boundaries, right? They like to go explore and do things. And a parent is trying to keep them in that narrow path that is safe. But every once in a while, the child goes off and does what they want. They fall and they hurt themselves and they come back to the parent. And the parent's like, I told you so. Amen? Sometimes the greatest lesson in life we learn is when the parent says, don't touch the stove, it's hot, and the kid's like, well, I gotta touch it. It's red, it looks fun. Touch the stove, they come back crying. I told you so. I still love you, but I told you so. And then they have that scar as a reminder of what that thing felt like. The same thing with our Father. The Bible says, God does not mock, what we sow is what we reap. Amen? So if we go off this narrow path and we're doing our thing and we're sowing into the flesh and we reap into the flesh and we reap destruction upon ourselves, we're going through a tough season and we go to God and we said, why is this happening to me? And he says, look at my word. Don't you see? I am not mocked. What you sow is what you reap. I love you and always will love you. But listen to my word and the spirit in you. So the spirit inside of us is guiding us on this path, not because God is anti-fun. God is pro-holiness and completion. And when we follow that path, we'll be complete in ways the world has nothing to give us. Why do you think the apostles in the early church were so willing to lay down their life? Because they had tasted something the world had nothing to offer. I always imagine what mindset would you have in the early church when they would come arrest you if you're a Christian and they could throw you in jail, they could beat you and kill you right in front of your kids, or take your whole family, put them in jail, then take them to the arena where the Romans would have these elaborate shows, as we know, and they would feed Christians to these wild beasts, and they would do this to try to stop the move of the Christian faith. And you would think, in their minds, in their fleshly minds, they would think, well, this would stop people from serving that Jesus and serve Rome and worship Caesar and worship our gods. You know what it did? It accelerated the Christian faith. More people were converted. The more they persecuted, the more they martyred, the more people turned to Jesus. Because this world has nothing to offer. Everything comes through Jesus Christ. All the promises of God, all of his love, all of his inheritance comes through us, through Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, it says, do you not know that you're God's temple and that the God's spirit dwells in you? Amen. The temple was only a type of what was to come. He was going to purify us so the spirit dwells in us. In the upper room, because you notice how he says in John, he said the spirit dwells among you and will be in you. In the upper room, when the 120 went to the upper room, just think about that. The thousands of Jesus healed, the countless people he encountered, only 120 went to that upper room. But they went to that upper room and they were talking, they were discussing, they were discussing Jesus, his words, and they all came to the conclusion that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he came to redeem us, he is risen, and that when you believe in him, you have eternal life. The moment they believed that, the Holy Spirit came down and dwelt in them, and they spoke with other tongues, and other people around them heard their own languages, and many were saved. As we know, that being the day of Pentecost, for redemption comes through the knowledge and acceptance of Jesus Christ. See, we're in this process. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14. I know I'm throwing a lot of scriptures at you, but I hope it encourages you to go study for yourself. The writer of Hebrews says, for a single offering, he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. And sanctification is the process of being made holy, the process of being set apart. Amen? We're being set apart from this world, set apart from the culture, set apart from the influence of the world, so we can be the light of Jesus Christ. So we can be the witness of his love and redemption to this world. Because church, I was thinking about this morning. I was like, Lord, you've blessed me, you've blessed my family with so many things. The road's been difficult and tough, but what I have gained and what we have gained, what you have gained in Christ Jesus, is worth everything, as Paul says. But I said, Lord, one day I will stand before you and you alone, and I will give account for my life and every word I've spoken, and my judgment is even twice as much because I'm a teacher of the word. I said, Lord, I lay down my own right, my own will, my own passions to be what I want to be. I lay it down before you. Make me who you want me to be. Isn't that the greatest act of love we can give the Lord? He gave the Father obedience, which set us free, and we give Jesus our obedience, which sets us free through him. What are we pursuing, church? Are we walking that narrow path with him? Luke chapter 9, verse 23 and 24. You know, this is amazing. The Lord gave me the scriptures. I wrote them down, and the Lord's like, I'll put it all together when you get up there. I said, all right. You know, isn't that amazing? That when it's in us, his word's in us, it just flows out of us. Because it's here. It's here that goes to here. But when we try to put it, when we try to filter his word through here, we struggle. So that's why you filter it through the heart into the mind. Not the mind into the heart. That's one thing I learned when I started taking seminary classes, was that a lot of them want to filter everything through your mind, but the Spirit is the one that is truth. We've got to filter everything through our heart into our minds to renew our minds every day to the things of the Lord. So Luke chapter 9, verse 23 and 24 says, that anyone would come after me. Who wants to come after the Lord? We do. Let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake in the gospel will save it. So church, this is what the Holy Spirit helps us in, the comfort in. Deny ourselves is not self-rule, it's his rule over us. We take up our cross and we follow him. That's what we're called to do, church. Are we doing that in our lives? If you walked out of here this morning and you took your last breath, would you be proud to sacrifice the life you give to the Lord? Would you be proud of the things you have done for him? Or would you be ashamed to hide it? And 'cause the moment you leave this body, As the scripture says, every knee bows, every tongue confess. There is no atheist in death. Everyone believes Jesus is Lord, and everyone is accountable to his word, because the scripture says that creation itself is a testament that God is real. You know, this week we went to Colorado, we went to the Rocky Mountains, and I was just in awe of God's creation. So I was thinking, Lord, how can people see this and not believe there's a God? That all this just happened? I mean, even when you look to the ground where the flowers coming up and the rocks are, then you look at the splendor of the mountains and the landscape and the beauty in which it was formed. How can you not believe there's a God? How can you not believe that there is one who loves you, that gave us this beautiful life to live for him and for his purpose? So let's go to Romans chapter 8, verse 24 through 30. See how the Holy Spirit helps us. The Holy Spirit is in us, guiding us, keeping us on this narrow path. You know, all of us have, there is something called conviction, amen? And we got the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And the conviction of the Holy Spirit is when we know we shouldn't do something, the Holy Spirit tells us, you shouldn't do that, amen? Now, how many of us do it anyway, and we're not, and then we go back to the Lord and say, Yeah, I did it. You know, I did it, Lord. You told me not to, and I did it. I've been there many times. I remember seeking the Lord in prayer. I wanted to do something so bad, and the Lord says, no, don't do it. And I kept pestering and pestering him. Finally, he said, all right, go do it. But you're going to come back to me and realize why I said no the first time. And exactly the thing that happened. See, if we would listen to his word, listen to the guiding of the Spirit, we would not experience a lot of pain and heartache we inflict on ourselves by not staying on this narrow path. So verse 24 says, for we were saved in this hope. What is the hope? It's a hope from God. But hope that is seen is not hope. If we can see it, it's not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait with perseverance and endurance. Hope means to anticipate with confidence. So there's always a hope in you with God, no matter what you're going through. You could be facing death itself, and there's still hope. Because this life ain't the only life, amen? There's always hope in Jesus Christ. There's always a hope in you that the Holy Spirit is reminding you that God will come through no matter what. God is with you. He hasn't forsaken you. He's not going to leave you. He is with you through all stages and all places in life. And we live in this hope. Verse 26 says, likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weakness. Amen? Because we're weak. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. Oh, let's just stop right there. I remember preparing my first message years ago. And the Lord led me right to this. And it hit me. I'm like, whoa. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. Why? Because we're always praying to be in comfort. We're always praying to do our will. We're praying that God makes our lives easier and not for his will, but our will. We say the Lord's Prayer, thy will be done. But do we mean it? Do we mean it? Because if he can use our suffering, he can use our lives to glorify himself through us, that even one shall be saved, our lives have meant something than we could do ourselves. Amen? So how many times have I found myself praying for things outside of God's will? He never ignores us. He never ignores us. He always is faithful and just to answer us. But here's what's happening within us. But the Spirit himself makes intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So I'm praying, Lord, get me out of this storm. Get me out of this situation. I need to go. And the Spirit is praying, interceding for us. And the Father is saying, give him strength through the storm. Give him understanding through this. Let him see who you are in this. So who is God going to listen to? Or flesh that says, get me out of this. Or the Spirit in us saying, nah, keep him in it. That's why we have to align ourselves with God's word and his Spirit to understand and come into agreement with the Lord in our lives. Because he's going to lead you to places you don't want to go again. How many of us have been hurt? Amen? And how many of us try to avoid the places of hurt? And the Lord is saying, no, I want you to go back into that. And we say, no, thank you. I'm fine right here. And we try to make our home in a place where we're not supposed to make our home. It's like David. David was on the run from Saul for many years. He got so frustrated. He wanted to fight against his own people with the Philistines. And they said, no, Hebrew, you cannot fight. Go home. So he went back to Ziklag, where him and his men made his home. And they went back to Ziklag, and people came in, raiders came in, and took their families and their wives and took everything they had. And the scripture says they wept and they groaned and they moaned in such great heartache. And they wanted to kill David. But God was showing David, you're not meant to stay here. You are king. There's times where we want to stay in the safety, and God's, and a storm comes, and God is telling us, step out again. Trust me again. For I've called you to do something hard and against your own will to bring glory to myself so I can save the world around you. Amen? How many of us are willing to step out again? Verse 27, now who searches the hearts knows the mind of the heart is, because he makes intercessions for the saints according to what? Our will? What does it say? For the will of God. So if the Spirit is in us, he's praying the will of God constantly. He's interceding. He's trying to lead us. That's why Jesus said, pick up your cross, deny yourself, and follow me. So that the Spirit is leading us. But the enemy and the temptation of this world is always pulling at us. If you remember the story of Jacob and Esau, go back and read that story. Jacob and Esau were twins. And God told Rebekah that there's two nations warring in you, and the older will serve the younger. And the scripture says when Esau came out, Jacob grabbed his heel to come out too. Why? Because they're fighting over the birthright. They're fighting their whole lives over the birthright. Esau was the firstborn, so he had the birthright. So what did Esau do? He was a hunter, and he went out in the field to hunt all day. And Jacob was different. And he was at home, and he was cooking the stew. So Esau comes in from hunting, and he was hunting all day. I'm sure he had eaten. And he told Jacob, I want some of that stew. I'm so hungry, I'm going to die. Which he wasn't going to die, right? You're not going to die by missing a meal. I think so, many times. But you're not going to die if you miss a meal. So he's being overly dramatic and emotional. And Jacob says, okay, sell me your birthright. And then Esau's like, well, what is this birthright worth to me if I die of hunger? So he gave it up. And we know the story. Jacob got the birthright. Excuse me. So what is the enemy trying to do? In difficult, hard times, when you're struggling, he says, give me your birthright, and I'll give you this world. I'll give you comfort. I'll give you that promotion. I'll give you what you want. Just give me your will and bow down and worship me, and I'll give you what you want. God is denying you. God allowed you to be hurt. He led you through that. So why would you trust God? Did God truly say, amen? That is the warfare we are facing. And that's the temptation. He's coming. He's come to question the goodness of God in you. He's come to question the integrity of God, the character of God. But his word is God's defense. And we, when we stand on the word, when you resist the enemy, he must what? Flee. As Jesus resisted Satan after 40 days and 40 nights without food or water, and the enemy came to tempt him, he defeated the enemy with the word of God. It is written. And you notice, Satan had no rebuttal, and no counter argument. He would just flee. And if we would stand on the word of God, temptation would flee us. Because, and then here's the promise. And we know all things work together for good to those who love God. This is the promise, right, church? So you're going through something difficult. You're going through hard. It's easy to want to compromise and not do God's will. But if we endure and we keep on moving forward, he will work all things out for good in our lives. Amen? That's his promise. That's what we stand on. I will not compromise the will of God for my life for temporary things in this world. Proverbs, the psalmist said, always keep eternity before you. Church, keep the main thing the main thing. We're in this life, but this ain't forever. Unless Jesus returns, everyone here will die. We don't know when, we don't know how, but this physical life ends and eternal life begins. In church, where are we going to be when we take that last gasp of breath? Because I try to measure everything I do according to that moment. And when we live for the Lord, your life will be fuller, your life will be richer, and you will have things that this world can't give you. If you look at this world, all the people that chase the things of this world, these celebrities, these stars, all the people trying to chase the things of this world, it's so sad to see them pursue and give up eternal life for the temporary things of this world. Everyone's trying to be younger, try to live forever, instead of understanding the life we are now live, we live for him. We live in faith for the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. Church, there is a comfort beyond this world that has been sent to us to take us through and navigate. There's some of you here this morning, he's calling you to the place of that hurt again. He's calling you to trust him again and give your will so he can do his will in your life. So the question is, are we going to exchange that this morning and trust him with our lives, trust him with our decisions, and walk that narrow path, for he is good. For his spirit is in us, ready to guide us to God's perfect will. Let's pray. Lord, your will is sweet. It is holy, precious, and pure. You are truth. There is no truth above you. Our truth is dirt beneath our feet. Your truth is the only truth. Your way is the only way. As you said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Lord, we celebrate that this morning. We celebrate you. That who knew no sin became sin, that we might become the righteousness of God. Lord, let us not look at the gifts you've given us because we can't see them right now. Let us not trade them for the things we can see. For your word says hope seen is not hope at all, but hope that is not seen is rooted in faith in you. Lord, all of us in this building this morning is going to face trials and tribulations, hardships, good times, great times. And then we will all take our last breath. And the moment we take our last breath with you, Lord, we go to be with you for all eternity. And we are in your kingdom. We are complete and whole. And everything in this world fades away. All the pain, all the hurting, there will be no more tears. Lord, let us choose you this morning. Let us choose your way, your understanding, and your purpose. Lord, let us lay down our pride and our works for you. Lord, let the Lord's Prayer not be something we say, but something we live. Thy will be done in heaven as it is on earth. So be it, Lord, for our lives. In your precious name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.